Democratic lawmakers are pressuring the military to diversify its top ranks quickly. Senators Kirsten Gillibrand of New York and Ben Cardin of Maryland have introduced new legislation. It would require the Pentagon to develop benchmarks for hiring and promoting women and minorities. On the House side, members are pushing the military to crack down on hazing, saying it often has racist undertones. The new legislation is based in part on recommendations that a military panel made last year. Retired Air Force four-star General Lester Lyles led the Military Leadership Diversity Commission, and he joins us now to talk about how the recommendations are going and the new legislation. Good morning, General.
Good morning.
So let's, first of all, take a look back at what the Military Leadership Diversity Commission recommended and how much progress the Pentagon has made on that. You recommended about 20 things having to do with recruitment, retaining, training, and sort of working diversity into the culture of the armed services. How has the Pentagon, what has the Pentagon done since then?
Well, Emily, I think the Pentagon has made great strides, both as an organization from the Secretary of Defense on down, and certainly within each one of the individual services. I think the best indication of that have been recent nominations for promotions to three-star and four-star leadership positions in the services, many of which were made for women and minorities, I think, at an unprecedented level. So I think they've made great strides, though some of the recommendations that we made are things that are long-term and will take time to really completely inculcate, but I am very, very pleased with the progress.
What are some of those long-term things that the Pentagon is just starting on?
Well, we stated one of our recommendations that diversity should become a core competency for the military. And by that, we mean as we recruit individuals into the military, as they make accessions into the military, either from the military academies or ROTC or something of that nature, diversity should be a normal part of leadership training. It should become just a normal core competency for the entire military. And by doing that, we think that the culture will be changed for the future so that even the topic of diversity won't be necessary in the future. It would just be accepted as a normal part of leadership for this great military that we have in the United States.
As the military moves forward on this, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges that they're going to have to work through to make this successful?
Well, as always, it's culture. And by that, I don't mean large groups of individuals or anything like that, but changing the minds and mindsets of individuals just to make sure they fully understand the benefits of diversity in the workforce. And I use workforce in a very general term. And so getting through that and making sure that there's a wide definition of diversity, that diversity is looked at as attributes, a wide set of attributes that can only enhance military readiness and military capabilities. That I think, is the toughest thing to overcome.
Speaking about the definition of diversity, what is it for this purpose? Is it just a matter of race and gender, or does it go beyond this?
Oh, no. It is our definition that we recommended in our report is that diversity should be defined as all the different characteristics and attributes of individuals that are consistent with the core values, supportive of overall readiness and mission accomplishment, but reflective of the nation in which we serve. So it's more than just gender, it's more than just race. It's skills in some cases, language skills, other skills that you can bring to the fight, if I can use that terminology, and the skills that are necessary to help the military accomplish its many missions that it has.
We're speaking with retired Air Force four-star General Lester Lyles, who led the Military Leadership Diversity Commission. And we know diversity is a touchy issue. We did a Federal News Radio survey not too long ago, which showed sharp divisions in how people of all sorts of races view the topic. What would you say to the naysayers? How do you convince them that it actually matters whether the top military ranks look like the United States population or not? I would think some people would say it just matters whether they're good at their jobs.
Well, you know, that's certainly true. That's always very important to make sure, regardless of what job you're talking about, that you have the best qualified and the best leaders who are in front of the organization. That's certainly a given. But within that, we think, and I think most people think, that skills and knowledge and attributes and leadership and are really sort of not relative to any one gender or any one race or any one set of individuals, that we need to always ensure that we offer the opportunity to have the best, wherever they may be, to lead an organization. And I think probably one, for those naysayers that may be out there, one thing to do is to look at big business. Most big businesses will tell you that they have benefited from opening up their ranks and becoming more diverse. They bring different attitudes, different ideas, different thoughts, different attributes to running an organization. And I think most data will show that organizations that are diverse tend to fare better than those that are not.
Can you give us some examples of some outside groups, whether other federal agencies or private sector businesses, that have been successful at doing this and have lessons or best practices that DOD can use?
Well, when we did our ran our commission, one of the things we did was to look at best practices and benchmarks, if you will. We went to organizations like General Electric, like IBM, like Sodexo, which is located here, headquartered here in Gaithersburg, Maryland. We went to Georgia Power and Light down in Georgia, and some others, including several of the major aerospace companies, all of which are ensuring that diversity is a major part of their core competencies. And each one of them, particularly the earlier ones I mentioned, have shown that they have become more successful and better organizations by becoming more diverse.
Now, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this new legislation. You've said that the Pentagon is moving forward on your commission's recommendations, so it's going along the path as it should. And now Congress is coming along saying, go along a little bit faster. And two senators, including Maryland Senator Ben Cardin, has now proposed setting firm benchmarks for the Defense Department to meet. Do you think that Congress is interfering here, or is actually going to do something productive in pushing the Pentagon along?
Oh, no, I certainly think they're doing something very, very productive, and is very consistent with our commission report. I applaud Senators Cardin and Gillibrand and Congressman Elijah Cummings from the Baltimore area, who was one of the originators for our commission a couple of years ago. They have all introduced legislation to essentially help what our commission has recommended. I think probably the best thing that their proposed legislations will do is to help to codify and institutionalize the things that we recommended in our report. While there are things being done, as I stated, and progress is being made, you always worry as to whether or not it's just a point in time or current leadership that's doing this, and that it might fall off as new leaders or new people come into different positions in the future. And what the congressional legislation will do is essentially codify and institutionalize some of the things in both reporting, benchmarking, and things of that nature. So I think it only enhances what we recommended in our commission.
Here's your chance to take out your crystal ball and tell me 5, 10, 15 years, where do you see DOD in terms of progress of diversity in the top leadership ranks?
Well, just as it has been in history, from desegregating the military back in the late 40s, I think DOD will be a leader in the area of diversity. Notwithstanding what some businesses have already done, I think the nature of our business and the fact that it's such a serious one, national security for our country, that we will always strive to be the best that we can be in any endeavor. And when you consider the demographics what looks like is going to be the demographics for our workforce in the United States 15, 20, 30 years from now, it in itself will be different than today and far more diverse. So the leadership of these organizations need to be diverse also. And I think the military will fall right in line with that and be one of the leaders.
General, just briefly, does some of this problem have to do more with people not really seeing the military as something that they want to do, meaning people of color or women not really interested in joining the military, as opposed to the Pentagon not reaching out enough to them?
Well, you certainly hit one of the factors right on the head there. There are two different elements to that. One of the recommendations that we made was for the Department of Defense to take a bigger role in helping to enhance the pool, if you will, of potential candidates for the military in the future, either by ensuring that people better understand what the opportunities are, what we do, what kind of things that we do, that is, I will say, different than what you normally see in movies. It is a professional organization with some of the most talented activities and capabilities that you could imagine, and making sure people understand that so they can make informed choices about whether they may want to come into the military in the future. And another area that was really a startling one to some members of Congress, and we pointed out to them, if you look at young people today, I think statistically roughly about 70% of young men and women in the United States today are not even eligible to come into the military for different reasons, weight standards, other issues like health, maybe in some areas crime or something of that nature. And so we in the Department of Defense need to help do our part to ensure that we increase the standards so that more people are eligible to come in the future. So those are some of the things we touched on in our recommendations.